Psalm chapter 105, verse 43, 44, and 45. And he brought forth his people with joy, and his chosen with gladness, and gave them the land, the lands of the heathen, and they inherited the labor of the people, that they might observe his statutes and keep his laws. Everybody said, keep. Keep his laws. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Matthew 22 and verse 14. Amen. He gave us something so that we can keep it. Matthew 22 and verse 14. For many are called, but few are chosen. Praise God. My old pastor used to say, many are cold, but few are frozen. Praise God. But I don't think there's anybody frozen here tonight. Is anybody frozen here tonight? No. If there's anybody that's cold here tonight, let's get warmed up. Amen. In the Holy Ghost. Just run the aisles 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 times, and you'll be hot in the Holy Ghost. Praise God. I want to talk about the fact that God wants us to keep some things. Amen. Lord, we thank you for the word. Thank you for your presence that's here right now. We ask you to anoint the word of God to speak to our hearts. We ask it in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. 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 God bless you. You can be seated tonight. And when we look at the scripture here, we can see what the Lord did for Israel, and as an example of what he wants to do for us. If we go to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 1, Deuteronomy is the second reading of the law, and it's kind of like a history of what Israel went through when they came out of the land of Egypt. And in verses 1 through 4, Brother Reed, are you there tonight? I want you to help me. Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verses 1 through 4. I want you to see what the Lord did for Israel. And I believe that he started off here in the book of Deuteronomy letting Israel know where they came from, or reminding them of where they came from. And every now and then we need to be reminded of where we came from. Read those scriptures for us tonight. All right. So the Lord wanted them to know where they came from, or to remember where they came from. And the reason is because there will be a generation now that will rise up that didn't participate in these things. Amen. They did not fight the fight against these kings. And there were other kings as well, but they named the ones that were notable kings in the area. Og of Bashan, and I looked it up, and it's in Deuteronomy chapter 3 and verse 11, and it talks about him as being a remnant of the giants. And I want to kind of portray that just a little bit. We talk about Goliath, and this Og of Bashan was a king, meaning that he was a warrior. He was very skilled in what he did, and he had a bed that was 13 feet 5 inches long, or 13 feet 6 inches long, and his bed was 6 feet wide. Amen. That's a pretty big guy. Amen. The peak of the sanctuary here tonight is 14 feet, and so he could bump his head on the projector that's up here or back there, he would have to duck his head so that he wouldn't bump it on the projector. 6 foot wide bed. He was probably a 4 foot wide fella, and very powerful, very strong. But the Lord gave them victory over him. Amen. And you read in many places, they kind of brag about that a little bit. We defeated Og of Bashan and the remnants of the giants, and now they're gone. And folks, I want you to know, and I want to just remind us here tonight of where we came from. Praise God. Amen. You've fought some giants. There are some here tonight that have fought some giants in your life. And you can look back and say, God gave us the victory over those giants. Well, praise God. A king is someone who rules over a particular area and a particular group of people. A prince is a ruler over a certain area in a kingdom. And we fight against principalities. Amen. Areas that are ruled by the princes of darkness is what we fight against. We may think that it is something else. We may think that it is just life. But there are times, my friend, that we have to fight the good fight of faith. There are times that we've got to put on the armor, amen, and walk out into the battle and start swinging the sword, amen, and fighting and learning how to fight and win. Amen. God wants us to be winners. Amen. I want to be a winner. I don't want to be a loser. I want to be a winner. Amen. Somebody said that second place is first place loser. Amen. Well, I don't know about all that, but I think that we're going to get a trophy when we get to heaven because we participated. He didn't want us to be the best among everybody, but he wanted us to be victors. Amen. He wanted us to be more than conquerors, in that we don't conquer other people, we conquer ourselves. And within ourselves, there are giants that come. Within our spirit, within our attitude, within our heart, there are giants that come along, and we can't see any way out of the situation. We can't see how God is going to do it. But when we seek his face, he gives us direction, and he did that for Israel. Praise God. Not only did he do it for Israel before they came into the promised land, but he gave them the victory after they had entered into the promised land, and it took some time. The Bible said year and by year, they overcame the land, and they began to take the land and dwell in the land. And if you would, Brother Reed, read on down, let's see here, to verse 8, verse 5 through verse 8. Turn you and take your journey and go to the mount of the Amorites and unto all the places nigh thereunto in the plain, in the hill and in the valley, in the vale, and in the south by the seaside to the land of the Canaanites and unto Lebanon, unto the great river, the river Euphrates. Behold, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, praise God. So he didn't want them just to know where they came from. Amen. We've come from a long ways off. We were all headed down when God got a hold of our lives. And I'm thankful that I'm here tonight. Anybody else thankful that you're here tonight? Amen. But it's more than just that initial experience. It is more than just saying 50 years ago or 30 years ago or 20 years ago. This was in our life, and the Lord stepped into our life and brought us to where we are in this land of promise. What we need to know is not just where we came from, but where we are going. Praise God. We need to know where we are going. We need to know that the land that God has given to us was promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Amen. And we are the spiritual seed tonight of Abraham. We are the children of Abraham. Even though we are Gentiles here tonight, Ezekiel chapter 16 and verse 8, he said, Ezekiel 16 and verse 8, "Now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love. And I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee, and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine." Amen. We're not just an ordinary group of people here tonight, but we have been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. We were out in this open field, and we were wallowing in our own blood, the Bible says. And the Lord passed by, and the time was the time of love. Aren't you thankful for a God that loves us? Amen. He's a God of love, a God that blesses, a God that gives good things to his people. But what we need to see is where we are going. Amen. It's not just where I came from, but it's where am I headed tonight. And I want you to know you've got a pastor here that wants to go to heaven more than anything else in all of the world. I want to be saved more than anything. Amen. And whatever trials and tribulations I must go through, I'm willing to go through them so that I can gain that ultimate prize on the other side. Amen. Heaven's going to be worth it. We sang about that tonight. Amen. I want to hear the angels singing. I want to see the angels singing and praising God. Amen. I want to join in with the chorus of the saints as they begin to worship God for all of eternity. What a joy it's going to be. What an awesome thing it's going to be. And when I look at some of the Kansas sunsets, it just thrills my heart to think that God made something so beautiful, all the different colors and all of that, and to think that he's been working on the New Jerusalem for 2,000 years, and the streets are paved with gold. I think we're going to just stand in awe and look at this. Amen. I got to thinking about it. It's 1,500 miles this way, 1,500 miles that way, and 1,500 miles straight up. Amen. If there's an elevator to take you from the bottom to the top, amen, and you traveled 60 miles an hour, it would take you about 15 hours to get to the top of the city of Jerusalem on a 60-mile-an-hour elevator. I don't know how the Lord's going to do it, but I'm telling you what, it's going to be awesome. Let me just conjecture here tonight a little bit, amen, and kind of guess on what it's going to be like. But if it's anything like having the Holy Ghost, it's worth living for God for. Praise God. I can't understand why folks don't want to serve God. I understand if they don't know anything about serving God, but I'm glad that one day the Word of God came to me and somebody knocked on my door and began to talk to me about the Lord. And I'm glad that they didn't give up, that they pressed in and continued to call me and talk to me. Amen. We've been having some conferences, and our young people are going to the conferences, and I'm excited about that. There's good preaching, and everything's on a high mark. And we come home wanting revival and praying for revival. But I'll tell you where revival comes from. Does anybody want to know what really brings about one of the things that brings about revival? Does anybody want to know? Bring somebody to the house of God. Well, praise the Lord. If all of us brought one person here tonight, what a revival we would have. Amen. What a blessed revival we would have. But when the Lord gave them the word from Moses and told them where they came from, where they were going, he literally gave the inheritance to them. And he gave the inheritance, he gave the land to them so that they could take it first and then they could keep it. Amen. so that it would be theirs from now on, and that they could grow and become a great, tremendous nation. Amen. And God gave us the word tonight. God gave us the word in earthen vessels, that the glory will be of God and not of us. But it is not the will of God that we forget the word of God. It is not the will of God that we cast the word aside, but that we become people of the word and we are keepers of the holy things of God. Amen. Keepers of the holy things of God. Matthew chapter 22, if you'll turn there with me tonight. I want to look at another scripture here. Matthew chapter 22. And I'm sure you're probably already there. All right. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 1. Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables. We talked about some parables here this morning, or a parable. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Now this is a parable of the Lord's dealing with Israel. The Lord is the king, and the friends of his son are the ones that are called the nation of Israel. Israel was called first. The principal ministry of Jesus Christ was to the Jews. And in fact, there was a few times that Gentiles came to him and he said, I'm not sent to the Gentiles, but to the house of Israel. And we can remember some of those stories tonight. But the king is the Lord, and the marriage is the day that the Lord comes for his people, and we spend time with him for eternity. Praise God. And he said, he sent forth his servants, that would be you and I, to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Actually, what that is talking about, when he sent forth his servants, he was talking about the prophets in the Old Testament. And the prophets went to Israel, and they prophesied to them, and they told them of things that were going to happen, and what God wanted to do in them and through them. But the Bible says that they would not come. They were not interested. Some said, I've just married and I can't come. I just bought some land and I need to check it out. And all these excuses. And that's really all it is excuses. Somebody said amen. They would not come. And again, he sent forth other servants, more of the prophets, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. You know, the Lord wants to have a close relationship with his people. He wants to sit down and have dinner with us. Praise God. He wants to talk to us about the intimate things of our life. That's how much he loves you and I. Amen. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. They actually killed the prophets that came to them and prophesied in the name of the Lord. And so the king heard thereof. He was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. That's exactly what happened to Jerusalem. Amen. When Titus and his armies came, or even before that, when the Babylonians came in 606 B.C., and they destroyed the city of Jerusalem, they destroyed the temple, and then in the time of Jesus Christ, the Romans came and they destroyed the temple again. Someone told me the other day that they are in the process right now of starting the building of a new temple. They think that they're going to go back to this old way, but what they don't recognize is that there is a wedding for the son of the king. Amen. We are going to be the bride of Christ, and he is going to come for his people. Praise God. And then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. You know why they weren't worthy? Is because they were not willing to keep the things that the king had given to them. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as you shall find, bring to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad, everybody said bad, and good. The bad and the good. Amen. It's not up to us to pick who comes. Amen. It's not up to us who we invite. We're just people that are here to invite the good and the bad. Amen. And thank God for that, because there are some of us here tonight that used to be the bad. Now, I know you're all holy and you got halos and wings and all of that. But I know before I came to God, I had horns. Amen. And I'm thankful that somebody came to the bad and talked to him about God. Aren't you thankful for that tonight? Both the bad and the good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. Amen. And then he goes on, verse 14, he says, for many are called, but few are chosen. Amen. The scripture that we read tonight in our opening text. Many are called, but few are chosen. And we've got to ask the question, why? And there's something here that is special about people who are chosen. Scripture says that there is the called, the chosen, and the faithful. Amen. I want to get to the place of being faithful. Amen. Yes, many are called. There are many that are called. We have seen many come to the altar. Many that have received the Holy Ghost and left the house of God and never came back. We've seen it many times. Many are called. Many are called. And it's not a source of discouragement. It should not be a source of discouragement, because we have the obligation and the responsibility to be a part of that calling of God in other people's lives. A light, if you please, a light to shine in the darkness on your job, in the darkness at your school or wherever you are. Amen. A light to those that are in darkness. And sometimes it is the bad that will receive it before the good. Some of the good think they're too good for God and they don't need God. Amen. But you might just look at someone who everyone thinks is bad and begin to minister to them. You might be surprised what you will find. Amen. And so many are called, few are chosen. Amen. And those that are chosen are those that when they receive the call of God, they don't make excuses and say, I have this to attend to, I have that to attend to, and make excuses. The calling of God is without repentance, but the calling of God is not salvation. It is not coming. I've seen folks that will come to the house of God once in a while. They'll come to the altar and they'll pray through. I've seen it over the years. Those that will come and begin to seek the Lord, and then they feel a touch of God and maybe pray through to the Holy Ghost and then go back out into the world, thinking that everything is okay. But I'm telling you what, the only way that we're going to be chosen is we've got to get a love for the truth of the Word of God. We've got to understand the Word of God, and we've got to obey the Word of God. It's more than just the thrill of receiving the Holy Ghost. Amen. It is the thrill of having victory over Og of Bashan. Praise God. It is the thrill of taking the armor of Goliath and hanging it up in your tent so that when people come by, you can say, yeah, that's what I got when I was a boy, when I was just warming up. Amen. And oh, praise God. I'm telling you what, there's some trophies that God wants us to have. Amen. Some victories that we can look back on and say, God gave me the victory, and I still have the victory today. Praise God. I've gone from one victory, and now I'm headed to another victory. Instead of looking at it from problem to problem, I think we need to look at it as victory unto victory. Praise God. Amen. If you have the victory tonight, you ought to shout and thank God for it. If you don't have the victory tonight, you ought to shout and thank God, amen, for the battle, because that's the only way you're going to get your trophy. Amen. Amen. I could talk about things in my life. You could talk about things in your life that God has done for you. But I'm telling the church here tonight, I'm telling each of us here tonight, it's not over with. Amen. The victories are not over with. Amen. God's move among us is not over with. Praise God. Amen. And so many are called, few are chosen, and those that are chosen are those that have the opportunity to be faithful. Faithful. That means you can be counted on. That means you show up to work when you're supposed to show up to work. That means you pay your bills when it is time to pay your bills. Don't get quiet on me tonight. That means that you do your best at school when it's time for school. That's how you learn how to be faithful. I'm not saying you have to be excited about it. I'm not saying that you have to just wake up in the morning saying, oh, it's school today. Oh, it's work today. Oh, we've got this before us. That's not what I'm talking about. There are times that you wake up and you say, I don't want to do this today. Well, you all are a special group of people here tonight. Amen. You just look like you're chomping at the bit to get ready for the week. Amen. But there are times that I wake up, and I suppose it's a little bit more of a challenge for me because I don't punch a clock or anything like that. It's a little bit easier when you have to punch the clock at a certain time. It kind of encourages you to be faithful. But sometimes there has to be self-motivation. Amen. A self-motivation that I'm going to get up and I'm going to go do the things that I need to do. Praise God. And if you're faithful, amen, then when it's time for the house of God, just like it is for work and just like it is for paying your bills, amen. Well, I don't feel like it. Well, that's not the point. We're not living for God by feelings. We're living for God because we love Him. Praise God. Well, praise God. We're serving God because He brought us out and He showed us where we came from. But thank God He's showing us where we're going tonight. Amen. And there's something special why God chooses people. Amen. There's something in people. There's something in the chosen that God favors. Amen. I believe that the grace of God upon Israel was what brought them to the promised land. Amen. A place where they could establish forever the word and the work of God. But they missed the boat. Amen. They missed the mark and they didn't make it. They went into the promised land and then God blessed them. And the Lord warned them. And I think it's sad. In my mind, it's sad that somebody has to be reminded to love you. Think about that tonight. That the Lord said, now, when you're blessed and you have all of these things, don't forget me. I think that's a sad thing for anybody to have to say. Amen. That you would say to a friend, you're my friend. Don't ever forget me. Amen. But a real friend will stick with you through thick and through thin. Somebody that really cares about you will go the second mile and the third mile to bless your life. But I think it's sad that the Lord had to say, don't forget me. You know what? I don't ever want him to have to say that to me. Praise God. What a disappointment it must have been for the Lord to say, come on, love me. And this is the first commandment. Amen. Love me with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Amen. I know that we can't see God, and so it becomes a little bit of a challenge. It's a little easier to love someone that you can see than it is to love someone that you can't see. But when we were born again, praise God, we got a glimpse of God. We got a glimpse of what he wants to do in our lives. And it is the chosen and the faithful that have the ability to see what it is that they're working for. Amen. Those of you that work on jobs, you see it all the time. Folks will show up and they'll work a day or two or a month or two, and then all of a sudden they don't show up to work at all. And it's a common thing that takes place in our generation. Amen. Well, I'm just working to get my month's rent, and then I'm going to relax for a few weeks and go find something else to do. Amen. Oh, I'm telling you tonight, for those that have a vision, amen, you got a vision of where this job is going to take you. You've got a vision of the blessings of having a good job. Amen. We ought to be able to transfer that over to our walk with God and our understanding of living for God. Somebody said amen. And so the chosen and the faithful are those that keep what God gives to them. Amen. Like the parable of the woman that lost the coin. Amen. She swept the whole house. She took time until she found the coin. And then she went back to her friends and said, rejoice with me, for the coin that I have lost, I've found it. Amen. There are times that we drift. Amen. There are times that we drift. Maybe somebody here tonight is drifting a little bit. And you look in your box of precious things, and all of a sudden it's something is not there anymore. You can have a choice right there at that point to say, well, it's not that big of a deal, I'll look for it later. Or you can say, this is very precious to me. I've got to find it again. I've got to get it back again because this is a precious thing in my life. Amen. We cannot be lazy about the things of God. We cannot be lazy with the precious things of the Lord, but we've got to put them in a place where we keep them. Amen. Where we keep them from the thief, where we keep them from the world, where we keep them from our carnal feelings. Amen. And rest assured, there are a lot of things in this world that want to steal your walk with God. The enemy wants to steal your walk with God. I said the enemy wants to steal your walk with God. Amen. He wants you to move the ancient landmark. Amen. He wants you to not keep the feast, as it were, spiritually. Amen. The flesh does not want us to keep the words of the covenant. Amen. But when we look in the scripture, in the Old Testament, you just look it up. It's an interesting little study, the word keep, amen. And where that word appears in the Old Testament is several hundred times that little four-lettered word appears in the scripture. And just a few of them, the Lord said, keep my commandments, amen. That's important tonight. He told Israel to make sure that they keep the feasts because the feasts were reminders of what God did and what God was going to do. He said, keep the ancient landmark. Amen. Don't move the ancient landmark because that's the point of our inheritance. Amen. I don't want any Og of Bashan to come and move my landmark. I'm going to get my sword out. I'm going to get my sling out. And I'm going to defeat that giant and claim what God gave to me. Praise God. He said, keep the words of the covenant. Amen. In other words, keep your promise. Praise God. keep your promise. If you made a promise to God, I'll serve you all the days of my life. Don't ever let that slip from you. Praise God. Keep the covenant. Keep the words of the covenant. In the Old Testament, it says, keep yourselves. Amen. And so we do need to turn inward from time to time and do a self-examination and establish once again the things that we have established already. The Old Testament says, keep your mouth. Amen. You can look that one up if you want to, but it's in there. Keep your mouth. Amen. Because what we say is very important. The Lord is listening to what we say. Amen. And Scripture says to keep sound wisdom. Amen. Wisdom can leave you if you don't keep it. Amen. That wisdom that you once had spiritually, if you're not careful, a prayerless life will steal away the wisdom that God gave to you in the Holy Ghost. Keep your heart, the Bible says, for out of it are the issues of life. Amen. So we've got to keep our heart. And if there's any that's very important here, more than the others, I would say it's this one right here. Because Scripture says, Jesus said, in the last days, the hearts of many shall wax cold. Amen. In other words, keep your heart. Don't let somebody that's let you down destroy your heart. Amen. Don't let situations in life destroy your heart. Amen. Have a tender heart before God and let God speak to your heart as often as He wants to. Well, praise the Lord. Scripture says to keep knowledge as well as wisdom. Keep mercy and judgment. Amen. Amen. Bind them around your neck. Mercy and judgment. Oh, there's many, many others. I could probably spend 15 minutes here tonight talking about the things that the Lord wants us to be keepers of. Amen. But every one of those are precious things. Every one of those are valuable things. Amen. And Israel was chosen for the purpose of keeping things that are holy unto the Lord. Amen. But they dropped the ball. They failed in this obligation and responsibility of keeping. Amen. Keeping the precious things of God. I'm looking here at the young people on these first two rows. Amen. If you get this in your heart tonight and you establish this into your spirit and into your heart, your life will be mega blessed. Praise God. We've got to be keepers of the good things. Amen. Keepers of the things that are valuable. Psalm chapter 1, and the Scripture says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate once in a while. Not what it says, but he is a keeper, if you please. He wants to keep this. He wants to hold on to this. But he meditates on the law of the Lord or on the Word of God day and night. I'll tell you, there's nothing like getting a revelation from the Word of God. Amen. And the only way you're going to get a revelation, well, there's more than one way, but sometimes the pastor will give you a revelation through the preaching of the Word of God. But I'll tell you where I get a lot of my inspiration. Amen, is just by reading the Scriptures, and when I come across something, I just stop right there, and I begin to meditate on that, and I begin to think about that, or I begin to pray about that. And I'll tell you, if you're sensitive while you're praying, God will just drop two or three words into your mind, and when you go to the Scriptures, you'll find there's a whole volume of things that speaks of. Praise God. You can't just go to heaven on a church pew, but you got to get involved. Amen. You got to get a treasure chest and begin to put things in there that God gives you. Lock it tight and guard it so nobody can get in and steal the precious things of God in your life. Somebody ought to shout amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And Joshua chapter 24, 15. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. I'm looking here tonight at precious families. Amen. Good children, good parents. Amen. God has blessed us. God has blessed you. You might as well say amen. God has blessed us. And we must serve the Lord as families. Amen. Thank God for a mom and dad that prays. Thank God for a mom and dad that talk about Scripture at home, that talk about Scripture while they're going down the road in the car. Amen. If you don't have a family tonight, that's all right. Just join the family of the church. Amen. And let's have good fellowship one with another. And let's talk about more than just the weather, more than just about politics. Praise God. Let's talk about what God has revealed to us and what you saw when you were reading the Word of God. There's something exciting about it because when one person says something, then it sparks a thought in somebody else. And before you know it, you're talking about all sorts of glorious things. Amen. We ought to be excited about living for God. Proverbs 4:23, I already quoted this. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Amen. For out of it are the issues of life. Amen. Keep here means the same as to guard or to protect. Amen. Keep thy heart. Praise God. Put your heart in that treasure chest and lock it up tight. And if somebody comes and lies on you, don't take it out of that treasure chest. Keep it in there. Forget about it. Forgive it. Amen. Move on. And be happy with your life. Praise God. Because who can make our stature taller? We can't. Who can change the way that we look? We can't. Who can change the circumstances of our life? We can't do that. None of us could do that. All of us have stories to tell. Amen. All of us have difficulties in which we grew up with. Amen. It's a part of life. But I'm telling you what, the devil wants your heart. Amen. The devil wants to steal your heart. He wants to steal your faith in God, your faith in the church, your faith in the ministry. He wants to destroy it all. Praise God. And there's more to living for God than just coming here to the church and for us to defend the church or to defend the truth among us. Amen. It's keeping the door of your home. Amen. Keeping the door of your heart. Amen. That makes the difference. You see, it's not what you do here that's so important, but it's what you do at home that's so very important. Come on, somebody, help the pastor tonight. Amen. The pastor hasn't got the loudest voice. I'm not as loud as you are, mom and dad. I'm not as loud as you are, brother or sister. Amen. And your message is better than my message. Amen. Because it is the message that your children are going to receive. And we come to the house of God and we hear the Word of God. We need to put it in a box and take it home with us and set it right there by the door and say, devil, you're not going to open this door and take away what we receive from the house of God. I'm thankful tonight for the preaching of the Word of God. But mom and dad, you're a better preacher than I am. Amen. Your life has more influence than mine does. Amen. That's not to diminish the ministry. But thank God tonight we've been given something precious, something very precious that He wants us to keep. Amen. How can we love the truth to the point that we will defend it for the rest of our lives? Actually, we don't have to defend it. All we have to do is declare it. Amen. Because you can't do anything against the truth or for the truth. You're not going to help the truth along. All you have is a bag of seed to take out and to sow with your children and to sow with those that are around you. Amen. And I think I've got the answer. By meditating on it day and night. Meditating on the Word of God day and night. And I know we can't do it all the time because of things on the job, but if you have a job where you can spend time with the Lord, praise God for that. Amen. Just make it a part of your life to meditate on the law of the Lord. Praise God. David was a great man, and David went out and he fought that giant, and he said, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" They ridiculed him and they put him down because he was willing to fight for the truth. Oh, God, help us. I remember, and this is not a pat on my back, it's just really the truth about what happened. When I first gave my life to the Lord, I was 19 years old, and you know, there was girls in our church, and there were girls in other churches, and you know, when you're single, you look at the girls, amen, and the girls look at the guys. Now, don't look at me like you don't know what I'm talking about, amen. And so we would get together, and we would talk, and they were talking about the songs that they were listening to, and they weren't Christian songs, amen, and they would talk about this, that, or the other, and it wasn't, you know, the best of things. And so I would talk about the scriptures, and I would talk about my convictions and why I didn't think that it was good to listen to some types of music. And I still feel that way today because there's a spirit behind rock and roll music. It's not just the music, it's the words to the music. Amen. And they called me the strict guy. Amen. I became known as the strict guy. And I felt like I was being persecuted for standing up for what the pastor preached. I didn't come up with anything new on my own. I just was living what the pastor preached. Amen. I was thankful for it. I believed it from the top of my head to the sole of my feet. Amen. And I got persecuted for that in a sense of the word. But I didn't let that bother me. I just kept on standing for what I stood for. Praise God. Go ahead and call me the strict guy. It's all right. Amen. When you get a glimpse of heaven, it's not even an inconvenience to live for God. Well, praise the Lord. Jesus said, if you love me, keep. Everybody said keep. Keep my commandments. Amen. From the Greek, that means to guard. Or to keep by keeping the eye upon. Mm-hmm. Think about that tonight. Keep my eye on. As Rush Limbaugh says, we're going to keep a sharp eye out on it. And I think somebody that's just looking like this, keeping a sharp eye out. Don't make any wrong moves tonight because pastor's got a sharp eye on you. I'm looking over this treasure, this treasure box that I have. I don't know about some of you here tonight, but my wallet's got a lot of things in it that are important. Anybody else have that? No, some of you don't. You just got a big, gigantic purse, and you throw everything in there. And when you need to find it, you're doing this, and you're digging through here. And finally, there it is. I still have it. But in my wallet, it's organized, and it's right there in my back pocket. And it doesn't matter where I go. It doesn't matter what I'm doing through the course of the day. It'll probably be a half a dozen, 8 or 10 times I'll just reach back there and make sure that my wallet's in my back pocket. Because there's money in there. Not much, but there's money in there. And there's credit cards in there. And there's a driver's license in there. and, you know, an insurance card that's in there. There's some very important things that are in there, and I don't want to lose them. Some people are so absent-minded, they're always losing those things. And they have to call the credit card company every week. Could you send me a new card? Amen. Could you change the number because I lost it? Amen. Go back to the driver's license. Get a new driver's license. I don't know what happened to it. Amen. Well, I'll tell you what, there's some things that are very important to me, and I don't want the hassle of losing them. Amen. It's an inconvenience. Oh, praise God. How about during the course of the day, every day, five or six or eight or a dozen times? Amen. Just look at the Word, get a scripture out, and meditate on that, and make sure I've still got a hold of the great God that saved me and filled me with the Holy Ghost. Oh, praise God. We've been called to keep the things of God. We have been called to keep the things of God. Psalm chapter 23, the Lord does this, that, and the other for us. He leads us. He guides us. He provides for us. And then David said, he does it for his name's sake. For his name's sake. Why are we living for God tonight? I think we ought to live for God for the sake of his name. Amen. Because I love him so much, I don't want to bring reproach upon his name. And I have brought reproach upon his name. But I got back up and I went again. And there are those of us here tonight that can say, we've fallen, but we're going to get back up again. And we're going to give glory to the name of the Lord. Amen. We're going to give glory to the treasures that God has blessed us with. Amen. And it is a treasure in earthen vessels. Let's stand together tonight. Praise God. Do you love him with all of your heart? Do you love him with all of your heart? I hope that you can say, I love him with all of my heart. I love the church. I love the ministry. I love my brothers and my sisters. John writes about it. You just read 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. Oh, it's all about love. Amen. Loving God and loving one another. Amen. Loving God and loving one another. And if we love one another, then he said, you know God, for God is love. And the only way we can know God is to love God and to let God love us back. Amen. And by that, we can learn to love one another. Amen. In Jesus' name. Let's pray right now. Come on, somebody. Come on, let's pray right now.